Welcome to Book It, a book podcast, where we read books and we talk about them, and we don't get any free personal pan pizzas for that yet. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And I'm Chrissy Wilson.
Welcome back, everybody.
We did it.
We fucking did it. We survived Twilight.
We did it, and then we read a two-hour book made for
children. Oh, we rewarded ourselves beautifully because Chrissy and I were talking about it. We were just in the world of vampires with Twilight by Stephenie Meyer, a.k.a. Justin Timberlake's mom. If you're new to the podcast, in the first couple of episodes of Britney Spears' The Woman and Me, we posit the theory that perhaps Justin Timberlake's mom is actually Stephenie Meyer, and that's fine. You can get into the details of it if you want. You can have that blessed little conspiracy theory if you want. The world is your oyster. This is choose your own adventure, you know?
Find out
whatever.
Why. Find out why.
Yeah, but if you want to find out
why.
Conspiracy
theory.
Yes, if you want to find out why that's our conspiracy theory, I highly recommend that you do.
Checks out.
But if you just want to accept that conspiracy theory for what it is, I love that.
I think it's accurate. I don't even know if it's a conspiracy theory at this point. I feel like
No. We don't need to have any proof. We're just positing the theory.
Evidence. I got it. That's it. That's what happened.
That's what happened. We know what happened. Okay, so that's what we read Twilight last week, and then this time we decided that we were going to stick in the paranormal, and we would treat ourselves to a 2.5 hour book, and we read The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb by R.L. Stein. Yay, goosebumps!
Or as I saved it, Curse of the Moo Moo, which I feel like is accurate because there's not a fucking mummy in this book. There's no actual mummy. So
no.
Curse of the Moo Moo.
No,
is what I'll be calling it. Fart Curse of the Moo Moo.
We fart cursed the moo moo, but okay, that's from I'm With the Band by Pamela Debar. But anyway, okay, so Chrissy and I, there's a problem with us reading this book because we have seen the 1999 movie starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, The Mummy, conservatively 200 times each. I don't know. I watch it like daily.
That's a low number.
Starting in September.
I feel like that's a low number. And
yeah, I'm being very conservative with that guesstimate.
I feel like in a couple of years ago, this was like when the whole Renaissance was happening, that people were talking about. It became like public discourse that or common discourse that the 1999 Mummy is what sparked a lot of people's sexual awakening.
Yes.
Based on the fact that like 9 out of 10 people in that movie you would be attracted to.
I feel like
they are so late to the game. I loved that movie from day one.
Amazing.
But you actually like stuck with like the sequels too.
Oh, I only watched The Mummy 2. The Mummy 3, I think I watched it terrible. I watched it and it was absolutely terrible. But
is that the one with The Rock?
Like I'll watch. Yeah. No. No, yes, it is, because The Mummy 2 is this is cursed. That is cursed. It's that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. And then The Mummy 3 is where The Rock is a centaur, but instead of being
the scorpion
a horse,
king.
He's a fucking scorpion.
Which, by the way, how is the CGI that fucking terrible today? That's what it looked like back then. And because I was watching it, and I was like, we can do no better than this now. We can do no fucking better than this now. Okay. By the way, there will be a lot of mummy talk, so just get ready. Because since there was no mummies, we were left wanting for mummies. We have to create our own because we didn't have any. Okay, so The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb by R.L. Stein, narrated by Kirby Hayborn. The audiobook length, because obviously that is what we do most of the time. We listen to the books instead of reading them, was 3 hours and 19 minutes. They have a bunch of other books in the Goosebumps universe, so I'm not going to list all the books because that would take me 3 years. Bestsellers rank, it is number 48,751 in Audible books and originals.
Yay.
It way to go, RL. You fucking did it. You're in the top 50K, babe.
Wow.
Okay. Number 59 in Scary Stories for Children, which I take umbrage with. It should be like in the 48,000s.
At least.
This book was not scary.
No.
And this one's a little bit more accurate, number 858 in Children's Spine-Chilling Horror, because it's not that scary, and I don't know what people think about, like, what kids actually find terrifying when they're little kids. It could literally be the dark. So
Yeah.
They'd be like, what's a fucking mummy? We have no idea.
I feel like you could have made it a lot more exciting.
Yes, absolutely. R.L. Stine, this was not even like the Slappy from the Nightmare, whatever, what is it?
It's Curse of the Dummy or something.
Curse of the Dummy. Something. Yeah. Anyway, Slappy, he's fucking terrifying. This mummy,
he is terrifying. But the last, so we've read two Goosebumps books at this point. So we read the first one, which was Say Cheese and Die.
Say Cheese and Die.
And then we read this one, and in both of them, there's like no actual like supernatural villain. Like, can I just get I don't know, like a ghost or like a gremlin or like a, you know, some sort of like supernatural monster. It's not what we have.
No.
I want the undead. Give me the undead.
But also, what's that one book? Oh, Something Wicked This Way Comes. That book was fucking terrifying. Like, why can't R.L. Stine try to figure out something? Anyway, I'll watch his masterclass on the masterclass thing. There are 409 reviews. Its average is 4.5 out of 5. 5 stars, 71%. 4 stars, 18%. 3 stars, 7%. 2 star, 2%. And 1 star, 2%. I'm shocked about those numbers. Not because it was bad. I'm just shocked that people are not more opinionated about how bad it is, just because I'm always shocked when people are more pleasant than they appear to be.
I feel like reading a lot of the reviews, especially on Amazon, like some of the bad reviews were like the pages were out of order. I'm like, are you reviewing, like, it's the material?
No, they're reviewing the actual book.
They're reviewing the physical item that they receive, not the contents of it. Like, received as described. Like, it's the, like, people are like, receive within 2 days, 5 stars.
Which I kind of love that, because you are reviewing the service as well. You know what I mean? Like, if you're leaving an Amazon review, you're leaving literally an Amazon review.
Yes.
Because you're also trying to review them.
I do feel like that could skew some of the results of the reviews.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. But I think it's funny because my brain will like to go into a lot of the semantics of it, and I'm leaving an Amazon review. You are literally reviewing Amazon. Like, that's
Jeff,
what you're supposed
to do. Hey, Jeff, I hate your fucking guts. 1 star. Like, ma'am, this was Little Women. Like,
yeah. It's like, there needs to be a homepage where I can just review Amazon, and then I can also review my book if I want to. So then that way, that person who's like, the pages were out of order, then that gets to the right people, and maybe they can start fixing their problems.
Let me troll Jeff Bezos separately from trolling R.L. Stine. I would like to be able to do that independently. Please.
Yes, yes, yes. Give me permission and give me the ability to review you both. I want to review both of you. Okay. The Amazon description. Discover the original bone-chilling adventures that made Goosebumps one of the best-selling children's book series of all time. Gabe is exploring the tunnels of an ancient Egyptian pyramid. Unfortunately, Gabe is also lost. And Gabe is not alone. Someone else is in the pyramid, too. Someone. Or something. It's another fan-favorite prequel to R.L. Stine's blockbuster Goosebumps Horrorland series, now with all new bonus materials, including a Q&A with the author and more!
Wow!
That is
a
not
Q&A with the author?
Yeah. Our next book, everyone, I want you all to be so fucking excited. So we read A Christmas Carol around Christmas because we had never read that book. And so this year, next book, we have decided that we are going to read Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because we have never read that book. But the Willy Wonka Experience that pop up in Glasgow, beautiful.
I wanna go so like, bad. So
I have such FOMO.
This is my public service announcement that I would like to go back. I would also like to read that 18-page AI script.
Yes,
that was given
to
all the staff. So if that's available publicly, I need to find that so I can read it.
Yes,
I need to hear about the villain origin story of the unknown.
Dying. It lives in the walls, apparently. That's all I know.
It's a candy maker that lives in the walls with the silver face and black hair. And I have seen that they're, like, in Glasgow right now, there are people, like, dressing up as the unknown and, like, walking the streets and, like, handing out golden tickets.
I'm obsessed with this.
I want to fly to Scotland right now just to be part of this. I think this is the best thing that's ever happened. And my favorite
part... I think that...
the organizer's name is Billy, because it was like people like, oh, this is the fire
fest.
And I'm like, what's the organizer's name? Billy. Got it. So you know what? If you buy tickets to an event organized by a white man named Billy, expect fucking horrible things to be a part of it.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It's not going to go well. Things are going to go awry. Billy doesn't have his shit together.
And since it's in Scotland, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that his last name could be McFarland. So I'm just saying, it's very much in the realm of possibilities that we could be dealing with a two Billy McFarland type of thing.
Watching all of that stuff, like some of it was really entertaining, but every time that I see a picture or video where I think a lot of people are losing it over the bartender Oompa Loompa,
was wonderful.
Was just done with it, who's amazing, incredible, absolute icon of our times. But where I lose it every time is when they show the picture of like the what AI generated what it would look like, and then that fucking like Jeff Bezos Amazon ordered like plastic backdrop that was 6 feet just taped to the wall.
The rainbow walkthrough thing. It was so good.
The best.
So
since someone called the police there. Someone got there and was so pissed off they called the cops. And they're like, you don't need you to come here right now. This is, we're going to fraud.
And, okay. Yes, you did. You were promised something else. Okay. Yes. And you thought, I'm going to pay money and I'm going to take my kids to go and see this Willy Wonka experience. Number one, you had to know that it was never going to look like that, because human beings in that short of time, unless you like planned this for like years in advance, and I mean like maybe 5 years, collecting all of the stuff and then to put it in that event space. No, this is a crash fucking assembly. We're erecting a world. Okay, it's obviously going to look like this. Now, could they have had more things and made it look a little bit better rather than like a... I've definitely seen haunted houses look better.
Yeah, but like... But all the lights, unless they had like a VR experience with that image, like we're not going to this place. This is a mess. You're in like a warehouse.
But I would have looked at the event and saw the AI image. I would have seen that it's only $40. I would have been like, because I expect I got to pay a lot of money to cover for all of this. Look at all this shit in here. There's glitter on this shit. Like, I'm like, did they actually make a chocolate river? Like, holy shit. I would think that that would need to be like $500 per person just to cover the overhead of just the decorations. And then after that, you have to pay the employees. But I would think this is $40. And this is what they're telling me. I'm absolutely not getting this. And I would have called you and I'd have been like, bitch, I bought us tickets. We're going.
I would go right now. If you were like, hey, it's back up and running, we're going, I would book my flight tomorrow. Like,
we're going to Glasgow. And my husband would wake up and he'd go, where are you? And I'd leave a note on the kitchen counter that's like, I've gone to Glasgow. Okay. So we're going to read The Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. Well, we're going to listen to the audiobook because it is another short book. We've never read it before. And we're just really loving and obsessed with the whole Willy Wonka pop-up experience. So we're hoping that maybe we can glean some information about what the AI was writing about and where the fuck the unknown came from.
To be completely transparent, I find the Willy Wonka movie creepier, far creepier, and like far more sinister than this book we just read. I feel like Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, whatever the book is called, is going to be a lot scarier than Curse the Moo Moo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the curse of the fart curse of the Moo Moo is not terrifying.
No.
Okay, so I found a couple reviews. I like to try to find 5-star reviews as well as, like, you know, because I want to know who actually really likes this. Because a lot of the time I spend when I'm looking at things, I really like to know what's working for other people because I hate everything. But I want to know why I can't be a happier, more fun person. And what am I doing wrong? So I like to find out why people like things. So that way I can hear what's good about something. And then I can be like, okay, maybe I'm just a fucking cynical asshole. And that's my problem. I do find that I am a cynical asshole. I just cannot go past that. So I like to read the 5 reviews. I really enjoy understanding why people like things. And then I also really like to find the funny reviews. So this one is from Sam. It's 5 stars. And it's from November 7th, 2022. So this is a recent-ish review. Summer Reed. This was a great choice for my tutor student over the summer. We used it as a text for learning about the Great Pyramids.
We have an education problem in this country for that reason. Exactly.
Yes, there are a lot of children that were left behind. Okay, so I have... okay, so I do know that we did learn about the Great Pyramids. Like, they do talk about the Great Pyramids in this thing. And I also understand that if something is mentioned in a book, unless I already know about it, I know myself, I'm going to be curious, and I'm going to be like, oh, and I'm going to go read more information about that. Not everybody is like that, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect or wonderful. I'm just saying that's what happens to my brain. I read a book like this, I learn about, like, oh, the limestone here was, you know, this is built in here, and and I'd be like, oh, cool, and, like, my brain, I would abandon that book, and I would go start reading about the Great Pyramids.
Yeah.
That's what my brain does. So... but I already know a little bit about the Great Pyramids. One, because of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode. Two, because of, obviously, Brendan Fraser's The Mummy. And then three, I think I've read this book before. And also, I really like all that type of stuff. So it's like my brain just really loves myths and Greek mythology and Egyptian, the pyramids. And I love all the gods and all that stuff. I think it's so fun.
All the things.
Well, because they're introducing you to a world. They're telling you, like, this is what this is, and then this is what this person does. I'm like, yes, what do you guys do?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that I know a lot about Egyptian history and a lot about this that time period where a lot of the pyramids were built. But I do know enough to say that this book is not historically accurate and probably not a great text to teach children about it from.
No. This is not good for a tutor student. So that's what we're saying. This is not a good book. So yes, it does mention it. And it's good if you're using this as a companion piece, but it is not an educational book.
I did read, one of the reviews I skimmed, somebody wrote that it was a great book to read while they were learning English. And I was like, that is a good tool to take these, like, middle grade books and read these middle grade books as a companion piece to, like, learning a language. So I feel like that's interesting. Like, maybe I'll get the, you know, the Fart Curse, the Moo Moo in a different language and try and read it that way to learn a new language.
Yeah.
I think that's a great education tool.
I think that is a great education tool as well. And then there was another one that I read. Okay. It was from Goodreads. I didn't write down who wrote it. That's what I was just looking at. I was like, oh, shit, did I not write that down? It's from August 27th, 2022. And it says, it has mummies. That's an automatic 5 out of 5 toilet rolls. I recommend it to the part of you that still believes in Egyptian tombs that have curses waiting to be placed on those who would dare disturb a resting pharaoh. It is me. I believe that.
5 stars.
5 out of 5 toilet rolls.
Why is she grading things on toilet rolls? Like, what's the...
It doesn't explain it. I went to look at her profile. She never explains why it's toilet rolls. I don't know if maybe she's just reading books on the toilet, and so then she's like the toilet reviewer. I have no idea. She never explained it, and I loved her.
Is she under a wet fart curse?
She might be. And then I did see that there was somebody else that gave it a cawpile rating. It's CAWPILE. And I was looking up the cawpile rating. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Because I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. I am missing something. There is a whole system. It's like the Dewey Decimal System, but for reviewing books. However, how did I learn about this? Somebody posted an explanation of the cawpile rating on LiveJournal. LiveJournal.com is still an active website, everybody. If this is your first time learning about this, you're welcome.
I tried to find my LiveJournal from when I was like 16. I'm glad I can't find it because whatever I said at that time period is none of my fucking business.
No, I don't want to know anything.
But like, did you have a LiveJournal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you realize that, like, we were, like, coding? We were genuinely, like, people did it with MySpace too. We were all like, oh, no, I can code this. Like, I can't even figure out how to take a picture with my phone now. And I was I was coding LiveJournal at 16.
The only new technology I am willing to learn now, I've already stopped myself, everybody. Yay, I did it. I found it. Zoom. That is the last thing that I will learn. After that, I'm done. I'm not learning a fucking... You're going to tell me, did you get these goggles? Nope, and I'm not going to.
I'm not
doing anything. I will be doing a video call. I will learn how to do that because I like that the doctors do that now. Because if I'm like, hey, can we just go over like my results of like this or whatever? I love that. But after that, no, I will not be learning a thing. So I am not going to.
We're also like a very specific generation. Like I was at the age of like 12 when AOL first emerged to the to the game. I was catfishing predators in chat rooms where they'd be like, they'd be like, you're like with friends. Like we'd sit around and they'd be like ASL, like age, sex, location, and then we would like say something and we're like, we're 13, you Chester the molester, you loser.
You're gross. We were
catfishing predators in chat rooms at 12. So, you know what? I feel like we were ready to code by 16. Like, no.
Now we're fart cursing people.
Code our own websites.
We are fart cursing people instead of actually engaging with them. We're just like, you know what? I don't like you.
Fart curse on you.
You have been fart cursed. Oh, what a bullshit turn that was. We don't need to talk to people. We'll just, guess what? You're fart cursed now. Okay?
Dead.
You're fart cursed. Consider yourself fart cursed. Nobody likes you. Ugly. Yuck. No, but so LiveJournal's still a website. I was very excited about it. I don't want to read what my LiveJournal was, or I don't want to read anything about myself. I'm very nostalgic for that period. I miss AOL, Instant Messenger. I miss the away message. We were just talking about this earlier. We loved that somebody could like, hey, I was trying to contact you. And then this book has a beeper in it.
That's
so that was wonderful.
I wrote that down.
I miss a beeper.
They give out pagers. I'm like, oh, you guys have pagers? Did you like text them like 8008? 5 for boobs? Like what?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know they did. No, I just like the pager. I loved it. I used to have a pager. Mine didn't work, but like I used it as an alarm clock. But like I would carry it with me everywhere so I could see what time it was.
I never had a pager. But do you remember that? It was like that like beeper gum where you can like buy gum that looked
like
a pager?
Yes, I missed the beeper gum. Oh, speaking of this, I forgot to bring this up with you. I'd like to devastate you for a moment. They don't make Butterfinger BBs anymore.
What?
They stopped in 2006.
Why
just
did
had
you
to
want?
Tell you.
What's Bart Simpson selling now? What do you mean?
I don't know. I can't. I had to tell you that. I'm sorry. Okay,
get your hand off my Butterfinger BBs, Bart Simpson. Like, what's he doing?
What are we supposed to get our hands off of then?
Yeah.
I just had to devastate you. I'm sorry. I just thought of this. I wanted Butterfinger BBs, and I have this. We have to just settle for the mini Butterfingers now.
Well, that's devastating.
It is devastating. I'm so sorry. But anyway, at least I told you about LiveJournal. Maybe we can get our LiveJournals fired. We'll start new ones, and then we'll be like ASL. Hey, perv.
Yeah.
Except for it'll be with people our age.
Hey, pedo, loser.
We'll do it with people our age, but you're disgusting.
I can't wait. I can't. I'm totally on board.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Okay. So it begins with our main character. His name is Gabe. He's Gabe the Babe. All right.
Oh, I forgot to read you my favorite review.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you about tell you to read us your favorite review.
I don't
please
need to
read us your favorite review.
So Sarah,
no, read
Sarah
both of
just
them.
Said that it starts with the main character, Gabe. Okay.
Yeah.
So here is this 1-star review from Claire. From December 16th, 2020, to get us started on our main character, Gabe. And a scathing indictment of R.L. Stein.
Yes.
It requires a certain talent to write a book about Egypt and still calling a sarcophagus a mummy case. I wish Gabe had burned alive in the pyramid. So that's... That's review number one. And review number two, I'd like to bring back Brianna from a previous episode, who also reviewed this book on May 6th, 2016, as described. So welcome back, Brianna. We've missed you. Thank you so much for your words.
We love you so much, Brianna.
Yay. Okay, now you can get into it.
Brianna, add us on LiveJournal. We're getting back on there.
Meet us in the chat room. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay, and also the children are bringing back. They're doing digital detox, and they're using the flip phones.
Oh, I saw that.
You guys, you can use our technology, but you don't get it.
You don't. Yeah, you'll never really understand what it was like to use T9. On a Nokia bar phone that only had Snake, and how the world unraveled when T-Mobile released the Sidekick and saw Kelly Rowland texting in Microsoft Excel on her. I'm her sidekick.
You will never understand my LG chocolate, okay? You'll never get it.
Oh, the razor? No, you're not going to get it. We're sorry you're not going to get it, but...
So sorry. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so we start off with Gabe. Gabe the babe. He sucks, by the way. I'd like to start off that I hate this fucking kid. I know it's not nice to hate children, but God, he sucks. I hate this kid.
He also, like, can't tie his fucking shoes.
He can't do anything. He sucks. He's not mischievous. He's not fun.
No,
he sucks.
It's terrible. The amount of times in this book that he's like, I stopped to tie my shoe. Bitch, what are you doing? Like, double knot it if it's that bad for you. Like,
double knot it. Also, maybe invest in some fucking slide-on shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe don't wear shoes with laces. Maybe you're not ready for it. Maybe you're not ready to take the training wheels off yet. And just get something that slips on.
Yeah, you know. Let's get some Vans slip-on shoes. Oh, God. Okay. So it starts off and he says, I saw the Great Pyramid and I got thirsty. Okay? So he's 13 and he's on vacation with his parents. His parents work in the refrigeration business. And we don't hear about them at all after this. Ever. Well, I don't even think we hear about like him talking to them at the end of the book, right? Did he?
I don't think so. I think the book,
or maybe he did and he was just like, oh, I'm so happy to, I don't know. I was just so angry with him by the end of this book. But anyway, so he pokes his mom's side and he says, I'm thirsty. She's like, not now. And he's like, no, bitch, I'm thirsty now.
I'm gonna
right?
die. Like, I'm gonna die in the next, I'm gonna waste away in the next 5 minutes if you don't get me something to drink.
But also, it's like, just fucking go find something.
Yeah, like you're...
You should have brought water.
I can assure you there's vendors everywhere. Tourist locations.
I'm sure there's somewhere where you can get water.
Yeah.
Or you could have gotten water.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So anyway, he gets to spend his Christmas vacation in Egypt. I get it that his parents are on like a work trip, but I'm like... No. Yeah. We were never going to Egypt. I didn't get to go see the Great Pyramids when I was a little kid. Like, I would have been fucking jacked if I was 13.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
a little more grateful.
Yeah! Like, I'd be so excited about this.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
No, but instead he's whining about how he can't find anything to drink and then making fat jokes at his dad.
Yes. He's body shaming and nerd shaming his dad.
Yes.
You suck.
Like the dad that was like, he said something about the weight of the pyramids. And he's like, oh, I guess the pyramids weigh more than you, dad. And he's like, man, he looked at me weird because he's sensitive about his weight. I'm like, what are you trying to do?
So you know that he's sensitive about his weight. You know, dad hates it when I do this. What's up, fatty? Get out of the way. You make a better door than a window. Yeah. Like I was like, geez,
dad,
Gabe,
you're fat.
Fuck.
Can I play my Game Boy now? Like that's the.
Yeah. Dad, you're fat, but I'm so thirsty. Like, I was like, I hate you so much. Oh. You want them to do something for you, and you're like, I'm going to body and nerd shame you.
Yeah,
what a shithead kid.
No.
Okay, so go bang your head against a wall. That's what his mother should have said to him. If she loved him at all, she would have told him, go bang your head against that limestone fucking 13-acre long base, you asshole. Like, I was just like, I fucking hate this kid. But... I was really mad at him because I'm like, this whole thing is built out of limestone, okay? It's still up. It was built, I looked it up. The Great Pyramid of Giza, which is where they went, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's with Khufu.
Yeah.
It says 2589 to 2566 BCE, okay? Yeah. Hey, Gabe? You can't even tie your shoes. These people built this. You know, you weren't smart enough to plan that you needed water.
Yeah.
These people had to build this against their will.
You can't find a vendor 20 feet away from you selling water and you'll trip over your shoelaces to get there. I don't know what your deal is.
Your gorgeous little macaroni picture that you made for your mom is going to be in a landfill one day, okay? They built this and it's beautiful. No. But listen to me now, children, and parents, you can play this for your children. You do not know the day that you will look at the Pyramid of Giza and go, wow, look at the base of that thing. Like, fuck.
I do feel like you could build something. You've built a lot of furnitures. So,
well, yeah. I mean, anybody could build this, but I'm not going to do it in a timely manner. And I'm not going to do it. Like, I believe in my competence. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to build something that's 13 acres, like, you know, at the base.
Oh, yeah. That was said over and over again, that it's 13 acres at the base, if you need to know.
Yeah.
The amount of time.
Fucking, He's making fun of his dad for, like, rolling his eyes because he's like, look at the base of this thing. And he's like, do you know how long it is? It's how wide it is. It's 13 acres wide. And he's just fucking, like, rolling his eyes.
Like, it's before the wheel was invented. And I was like, I don't know if that's accurate, but.
No, dad, let's not talk about that. You're correct about how cool it is, how big it is. But so, like, Gabe, first of all, he doesn't even, like, think about, you know, I should bring something to drink in the fucking desert. I mean, you know, whatever. But anyway, so you don't know the day that you're going to start, like, looking at things and you're going to be like, wow, look at the fucking base of that thing. It's made out of limestone. Like, you don't know that day, and you do not give your parents the grace to have that day. And I understand we all need to have our balls broken about stuff. But one of these days you're going to look at that and you're going to go, dude, that's fucking awesome. That you're just going to do that.
These have been here for thousands of years, and most of the deterioration of or a significant amount of the deterioration of Egyptian structures are like man-caused deterioration.
Yeah.
Not like weather, not time, not flaws.
Man.
It's people like trying to destroy them.
Yes.
Historically.
Actively trying to. So, okay, they go to their, so I guess Gabe's family is from Egypt, right? Like their whole, their ancestry is from Egypt.
It appears that his father, I think his father is, or I don't know, one of his parents.
No, they're both of them. It's from both parents. Okay. They're both Egyptian. Yeah.
And then he's got his archaeologist, Uncle Ben.
Yeah, which Uncle Ben is known as a prankster, but does no pranking. Like, Gabe actively knows him as, like, he's like, oh, my prankster Uncle Ben. And then the only thing that he kind of does is he makes, like, some silly jokes sometimes. But, like, Sari, his cousin, is her name is Sari, S-A-R-I. And she is much more of a prankster than Uncle Ben is.
Well, he does the prank at the beginning because so they go.
Oh yeah, that's
they go
right.
Back
that's
to the
right.
Hotel, and then he's like talking about Coke for a while, and he's like, "Oh, I'm finally got a Coke, and I'm drinking my Coke." And that I'm like, "This is too much on this." Then his parents have. But what fucking refrigeration emergency would you have that caused you to like? Because like we need to leave and go to Alexandria right away. There's urgent refrigerator business. Like that just sounds like a joke in itself. Like is your refrigerator running? Like that's what that sounds like to me.
Well, and I understand that like refrigeration business could be anything of like because you put refrigerant or you know something like that in air conditioning and maybe it's like a like a lab or something like that.
I don't know.
R.L. Stine failed. He told us this, and he was like, oh, there's an emergency, but then he didn't, like, explain why.
No.
Like, anything about the lore of Mr. and Mrs. Gabe. But there's Uncle Ben, who's the archaeologist, and Gabe's Uncle Ben scares the shit out of Gabe by being dressed as a mummy. Now, I kind of paused with this because I wanted to figure out how I can start this. Gabe seems to really want to see a mummy this entire fucking movie. But he is not... Movie?
Book?
Did I say movie? Wow. It was a book. It was a movie in my head. No, he does not want to... He wants to see a mummy this entire book. And then... When he actually does, when he sees his uncle dressed as a mummy, he's freaked out by it. And at the end of the movie, the book, he's scared of it. And it's like, of course, because it's a fucking mummy and it's fucking terrifying.
All he talks about is like, so his Uncle Ben is an archaeologist that had apparently just discovered in one of the pyramids. He discovered
A
new burial chamber. So that's where he's like, I want to go in and see that. I want to go in and see it. I want to be part of it. You think you want to go see it? That's all he talks about. And then his parents, you know, go off for their refrigerator emergency. And Ben breaks into the hotel room dressed like a mummy. And he, the other thing, first of all, this kid that he's like, I bought a mummy hand at a garage sale. Like, whose fucking garage sale were you buying a mummy hand? Like, the royal family?
Yeah.
Like, was it an estate sale from, like, a British museum? Like, where'd you get a mummy hand?
Yeah, where is this mummy hand coming from? But also, like, okay, Uncle Ben has his daughter, Sari, and then he is now saddled with Gabe the Babe,
right?
Okay,
then,
because of the refrigeration emergency, in his brand new fucking burial chamber that has been undiscovered for thousands of years, right? And he's just like, yeah, cool. It can be bring your kids to work day. No, that is like a fucking ancient burial ground. That's and you're going to have some 13-year-olds go down there? Absolutely not.
No. Yeah, I don't.
Ben.
I don't think they have, like, you know, daycare down there. There's not, like, a childcare option at the gym.
They go down there and they're like, hey, these, like, pathways are really confusing and it's easy for you to get lost. So let's bring the kids down there. Like, what are you talking about?
He also, like, hates his cousin.
Oh, Ben, Gabe hates Sari.
He's like, this bitch. But she also, like, he hates her. And she's like, she thinks she's too good for everyone. And she's really pretty. I'm like, she's really pretty. She's your first cousin, you little weirdo. Yeah.
She's your first cousin. And also, she seems to have more balls than you. Not that it makes any difference, but, like, she's fucking climbing in a mummy tomb. Like, I would never.
By the way, even if I wanted to hide, no. That night, Ben, so they get there. Ben takes them both downstairs to get dinner, because he gets there and he's like, we're going to get dinner. And then both these children in Egypt, you're in a hotel in Cairo, order cheeseburgers.
I couldn't believe it.
I would have slapped the shit out of these kids.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I get it. That's probably...
No.
It's probably at least safe, but like, no, don't eat a cheeseburger. I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Get it together.
At least buy something for the table that they can try.
Yeah. Well, come
on. Hey, let's get this for the table so you can try. Anyway.
Try something new, kids.
Yeah. Well, and also, Uncle Ben, I mean, really, like, you're going to bring these kids into this ancient burial chamber that's been undiscovered, and then you're not going to have, like, a man. Like, because he just, like, leaves them unsupervised down there. Don't get lost. Oh, okay, no problem. I'm clearly going to go fucking get up to some shenanigans.
Don't do anything bad. All right. Sounds great.
Yeah, famous last words. So Uncle Ben says that he'll get to go into this new burial chamber. So Gabe is thrilled, okay? So I'm like, oh, okay. And also Gabe is mad because Sari is able to read in Arabic and English. And I was like, do you not have the same opportunity to learn? Like, you're 13.
Yeah.
Like, how busy are you? You're not learning how to tie your shoes, so learn Arabic. Like,
Figure it out, Gabe.
He sucks so bad.
Take some interest in your culture.
Yeah.
You little shit. Yeah.
Well, because I'm like, you can learn too. You're 13. And if you're mad that Sari can read in Arabic, like, if that was me, I would be like, oh, fuck her. I'm going to read in Arabic, too.
Like,
I'm going to
be better at it than her.
Hey,
Dad, you think you can teach me this or
send
me to Arabic school to learn how to read or, you know, learn more about my heritage, my culture?
Yeah, anything. But he's like, Anyway, so Uncle Ben asks him, do you know how wide the base of the pyramid is? And he's like, oh, it's 13 acres. And now he's all excited about knowing that after he just made fun of his dad for being amazed by that, right? And so the burial chamber needed to be hidden. I would never be a robber and steal the jewels, just like I could never be like a person who went in the Titan submersible. Like, I can totally just watch a YouTube video walkthrough. Like, I don't need to see that stuff. I don't need to, like, I want to see it, but like through the camera is fine. I don't need to go see the Titanic. I don't need to look in an ancient burial chamber. Like, I'm fine. You can just show me a video of it. And I believe you.
I'll just look at Getty images. I'm good. Thanks so much.
Yeah. It's so fun. I think it's awesome that you went down there, but, like, I'm okay. So I don't, like, they were talking about how the chamber needed to be hidden because then, you know, all these robbers would go down there and steal the jewels and all this stuff. And I was laughing really hard because that is true. Like, obviously, nobody had, like, fucking Instagram or, like, they didn't have, like, a side hustle or anything like that. They're just like, hey, those people bury people, and they have all their jewels down there in that pyramid. We should totally break in. Yeah.
Like, let's go steal that shit. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go break into that. So, like, they obviously would try to do that. So, you know, they would need to hide all that stuff and make it a mystery and, you know, make it whatever. So I think it's neat that they had a whole – I would respect the system. Just wanted to let everybody know I would respect everybody's jewels in the ancient burial tombs in Egypt. I would respect your jewels because I'd be like, you know what, that's not for me.
I'm not stealing stuff from dead people. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a fart curse waiting to happen.
That is a fart curse right there.
Gabe is really excited about going into the pyramid. They go into the pyramid. Uncle Ben says, like, don't get lost in the tunnels.
He, like, falls down a rope ladder immediately. Loses everyone because he has to tie his shoe for the 75th time.
Yeah, Absolutely. And again, slip-on shoes. But Gabe would totally wear Crocs to the Great Pyramid. Don't you believe that?
Oh, yeah. This is he's like a Crocs Skechers kid for sure.
He's a Crocs kid who like wears like a fucking like T-shirt from Target. And he's like, my mom.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. I didn't pack any water because my mom didn't have it.
My like, mom it's like, didn't do it.
Yeah. And my dad's really dumb and he's fat. Okay. So... Uncle Ben also mentions that one of the workers says that we have violated an ancient decree by disturbing this new area.
Well, they disturbed this new area. The workers, like, y'all are... Is that the Christie girl, or is that the...
I can't remember. He just says that one of the workers says that we disturbed... I can't remember if Uncle Ben names this person, but just one person said that we have disturbed... and I actually think it might be Ahmed... because at the end of the book, we find out about this crazy man, Ahmed. But I think it's hilarious how Uncle Ben is an archaeologist, but he also, like, doesn't respect any of the lore of...
None. No, he's like, fuck them. They're dead. It's fine. Just dig up whatever you need to. No.
Because, like, Rachel Weisz and Brendan Fraser in The Mummy, they respect that stuff. They are happy to find it,
Rachel
but they don't want to...
Rachel knew everything about it, and Brendan was terrified of it.
Yeah.
O'Connell
and I mean,
was
Rachel...
I'm not fucking with that shit.
Evie did read from the Book of the Dead,
she did.
They said not to do that. But then after that, she was like, okay, yeah, no, I'm not doing any of that stuff anymore.
She was also, she was on board to, like, you know, do everything. She was very excited. She was very passionate about it. Maybe a little
bit. Yeah. And she also wanted to, like, if she found the key to open a door, like, she wasn't just going to break stuff down. She wanted to find the right way to open things and, like, do all that stuff. Like, she wanted to actually respect whatever. And I just feel like Uncle Ben should be a little bit more cognizant of that stuff. But he's like, somebody told me that, like, we, like, are, like, disturbing an ancient curse and we violated a decree by these people. Like, whatever. This is cool. It's like,
anyway,
no.
Here's a shovel. I'm going to dig them up.
Yeah. Anyway, don't get lost. I'm not going to pay attention to you 13-year-old children in an ancient burial tomb where you could absolutely die. Not going to pay attention to you at all.
Shit can collapse. We haven't explored these tunnels. There could be.
Exactly. Tragedy can arise anytime. Have fun. That's how, like, no, Uncle Ben.
These are untouched tunnels from 3,000 years ago. But, you know, just go check it out. See what's going on.
Yeah, don't get lost. Well, Uncle Ben, it's just like, of course Sari is learning Arabic, and she probably learns how to do all this stuff and get herself out of here and goes exploring, because Uncle Ben is just leaving her alone, and she probably... has had to learn a lot of survival skills, poor Sari.
Yeah, she's like, nah, fuck it. I'm just going to go off by myself. It's fine.
Yeah, she's like, fuck you
people. I bet she would have brought water for herself.
She probably did. And then they wandered off, obviously, and they...
He loses her again for the 90th time.
Yeah, they get lost, they wander off and whatever. And this is where I wrote that Uncle Ben is worse than Uncle Buck. Because in Uncle Buck, they really thought that Uncle Buck was going to be the worst babysitter ever. And I'm like, meanwhile, he was the best. He made those giant pancakes. Like, what's Uncle Ben doing? He's like, yeah, get a hamburger and, you know, rest up. We're going to go and explore this thing. Like, Uncle Ben is a workaholic, okay? And he does not care about his children. Where is Uncle Ben's wife, Sari's mother?
Also, wasn't Sari at, like, boarding school, too? Wasn't she, like a boarding school kid?
Yeah. Not attentive parents.
No.
And he's like, let me dress like a mummy. And it's like, no, you need to be a daddy.
Yeah, why don't you parent your child? you know, start with that.
Let's start there. Sari hides in a mummy tomb that was empty. And the stupid thing is, okay, first of all, what's his butt? Gabe is... like, so scared, obviously,
terrifying.
Because, yeah. But, like, you should know, Sari is always pranking you. She's always trying to make you look like an idiot. So you know that she's hiding. She just told you about this mummy tomb that she found, but it was empty. Like, she's clearly going to hide in a mummy tomb.
So I wrote, Sari is down the tunnels hiding in an empty mummy. And I did write sarcophagus, which is why that review is so much funnier, is because every time that he wrote, like, mummy case, I was like, sarcophagus. So
yeah, it's a sarcophagus.
I've seen The Mummy. So I wrote it.
A few times.
I wrote it down that way. But also, like, he didn't do anything with that empty mummy's. No. Like, there's an empty sarcophagus. So, like, immediately I'm like, oh, there's a mummy on the loose somewhere. No. No, there's not.
No.
There's just an empty sarcophagus.
There's just an empty mummy sarcophagus, a mummy case, or whatever. But, I mean, I guess a 13-year-old wouldn't know the word sarcophagus.
I feel like I did.
I don't think I did.
Oh, you probably
I don't know.
Did. We learned.
I'd like to.
We learned
I'd like
about
to
the
time
pharaohs
travel.
And, like, you know, you got, like, king, a lot of, like, brushed up on King Tut, all of that. Like, I think we learned enough about Egyptian history by the time we were.
Yeah, but would I remember that word? I guess I would if I was in the pyramid and I saw that, I would know that it was a sarcophagus. But would I call it one? Because I've been calling it a mummy tomb.
I feel like a tomb's okay.
Yeah. Get it together, Gabe. All right. Anyway, so and also I don't understand how sorry, I know that she's like a kid, but it's no respect, because why are you hiding in the mummy tomb? I would never. I would be like,
what
oh, I'm getting
doing?
Mummy cursed immediately. I'm getting fart cursed. This mummy is going to do that. As soon as I get up there, I'm going to have a bad life.
This is the behavior of an unparented child at boarding school. Like,
yes.
Hey, Ben, stop dealing with the dead things. Your alive child has some other issues that you need to work through.
Is raining chaos through this undiscovered burial chamber. Like, she's fucking...
Maybe she just
she's
wants
got a
attention.
Whole, she was hiding in this mummy tomb. She's got a card game going on in that where she's stealing all of our money.
You've ignored her so much that she has stolen all the jewels from this burial room and is pretending to be a mummy. So you'll pay attention to her. This is a traumatic story. This is
she's
sorry
asking
villain
for
origin
help.
Story. That she
it really
was,
is.
Yeah. She was ignored so much that she was pretending to be the thing that he was interested in.
But of the two kids, guess who I'm not worried about? Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
Very worried about Gabe. Gabe being an adult, I'm just like, oh, God. I hope that you found Vans slide-on shoes in your later life. Okay, so Sari hides in the mummy tomb that was empty. And then Gabe also spends this entire book mad at Sari, not for just knowing Arabic and English and whatever. He's also mad at her because she thinks that she's tougher and cooler mm-hmm. than he is. And she thinks that because she is.
Yeah. She saved his ass when he fell down the rope ladder. And
of course, like, he's like mad at her. And it's like, of course, this is obviously not her first day in this tomb, in this burial thing. Like, she probably goes a lot of places with her dad. So, of course,
she's like, bitch, I've been fending for myself for years. So
she's definitely sneaking out of boarding school. Like, I was as I'm like listening to this, I'm like, oh, sorry, is getting cigarettes. She is finding how to get like Pop-Tarts, like, she's getting commissary stuff, like, brought to her. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like Sari would have been catfishing predators with us on the internet. So,
oh, yes.
For sure.
ASL.
Yeah.
She's like, I went in a mummy tomb. I am a mummy. I love Sari. And there's a couple of reviewers that were like, Sari is so annoying. And then they would put Sari and like a little like laughing face. And I was like, no, you're annoying. Sari is cool. These are the skills that she's learned in the environment that she's had to be in. Anyway, so they meet this guy, Ahmed, and Ahmed's the worker that says that he doesn't think that we should go down there because they disturbed all the ancient mummies and now they'll be cursed. And this is where I just pictured him being that guy in, I think it was The Mummy 2, where he was like, this place is cursed. Like, he thought everything was cursed. And then that one guy was like, this is cursed. That is cursed. I just pictured him.
I didn't write his name down at all because the progression of this character is that essentially he wants to slaughter these children because they violated the religious, you know, sanction of something that happened 3,000 years ago. And I was like, this is a white man. I'm calling him Joe. So
yeah,
that...
he's Joe.
This is
but
Joe.
He is a psychopath.
Yeah.
And a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, Joe is crazy, so we'll call him Joe.
Yeah.
But his name is Ahmed, but he's Joe, and he's fucking insane.
He is like, I'll kill children in the name of my religious beliefs. Like, oh, yeah, Joe, got it. Cool. Yeah, this is absolutely, for sure.
So we learn later on in the book that he is a descendant of whomever's tomb that they've just recently, or the whatever that they disturbed.
Yes.
It sounded like Carla. But I know it wasn't Carla. Maybe it was Kala?
I think so. Yes, Priestess Kala.
Because I definitely, when I was listening to it, and I was like, I was sweeping the dog hair up, and I was like, did he just say Carla? So then I had to like go back, because I'm like, no, it's not Carla. And then I was like, it's Carla. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she's a priestess that also like worked at the diner or truck stop. Carla.
Yeah, then after that, I was just like, oh, Carla. I'm like, no, it's not Carla. But then I started laughing, because I was like, wouldn't that be hilarious? Like, the tomb of Carla.
Carla and the fart curse.
I was like, here's Carla, and she's down there, and she is fart cursing everybody who doesn't tip her 20%. Fuck you. I was just like, oh, God. So I was just thinking, like, I wish that I could have a tomb, and it'd be the Sarah's tomb. And I don't want to, because I don't want to take up any space. I don't want somebody to find my body one day and be like, look, like my like bones, like just like, whoa, here she is. Like, that just sounds like a lot of attention.
Like,
that I don't
want
need
the opportunity to haunt people, don't you?
Oh, I want the opportunity to haunt people, but I'm not gonna do it because somebody's disturbed me. Because I mean, think about all the stuff that we're digging up now, right? We're finding all this stuff. There's constantly like all of my Google alerts are like, oh, look at what they found. They found this coin, or this guy was out walking his dog and he found this ancient sword, and I'm like, fucking cool, man. And then like in China where they found that whole like civilization like underground or something like that. I can't remember. It was a couple years ago. They like dug it up.
Yes.
We're constantly digging up shit because this earth is fucking old as shit, right? So one of these days they're going to find my Lisa Simpson making an L on her fucking forehead, and they're going to be like, whoa, look at what they use. And I'm just like, that is the craziest thing. So I cannot handle anybody finding my body, like my bones, and being like, oh, this is somebody from this century and like,
wow,
whatever. Like,
cremated immediately.
Yeah, I can't deal with that. I'm not going to get cremated either. I'm just donating my body to science. Do whatever you want with
it. Yeah, but you like
have
can't
animals
control that.
Eat it.
The donate your body to science, like, yeah, I feel like crazy shit happens to that. Like, some is used for medical research and other stuff is like, man, let's make it a crash test dummy and see if it blows up when we do this.
That's fine. I don't care. Make my death useful, because I am so claustrophobic. I do not want to be buried in a box, and I do not want to be in a box where I get set aflame. I can't do it.
Fair enough.
Thinking about it gives me heart palpitations. And I'll be dead. That's the thing, is that I'll be dead, and I won't feel it, and I won't know it, and I won't anything. But just the thought of me being in a box for the rest of eternity is just awful. I can't handle it.
God.
So I'm just like, ugh. But anyway, so Joe is the worker who thinks that we should not go down there because it's cursed. Uncle Ben is supposed to pick them up. I also love this. Joe is driving them, right? Like, he's driving the kids, Uncle Ben was supposed to pick them up.
It's because the next day, so after they, like, Sari goes in the sarcophagus, the mummy case, as R.L. Stein says, and then Ben finds them and is like, you little assholes, and then takes them back. And the next morning, he gets a phone call that his workers are all sick and hospitalized. And he's like, you guys stay here, don't go anywhere. And they were like, he left, and they were like, fuck that lie, let's go to the museum. It's down the street.
Yeah.
So then they go to the museum, and that's where Joe finds him.
That's right, because they wanted to actually see a mummy
because
they were mad
because
they weren't seeing any mummies. Yeah,
because Gabe's obsessed with seeing a mummy, even though he's afraid of literally everything.
Oh, God. Gabe's afraid of his own shadow. Okay, so Joe finds them at the museum and he picks them up and he says, like, we should invent a car that stays cool. And Gabe never says, like, my mom and dad work in the refrigeration business.
Hey,
Joe, you might be onto something.
Hey, Joe,
here.
You are totally onto something. My parents are on an emergency refrigeration trip right now, but the second they get back.
I'm just saying, start thinking of ideas and we can talk to them.
Let's keep it rolling. I feel like this can make us some money.
I love this. Keep spitballing, Joe. Let's go. What else about the car should stay cool?
Let's do
it.
I need extra cash for my garage selling, so let's go. Let's get through this,
Don't
man.
You want to feel like a hockey puck in your seat? Yes. I want to feel like an air puck from like the air hockey. I want to feel like one of those in my seat.
And
just
that is how air-conditioned seats were invented.
Yes. And Joe can have the credit for it instead of just being a nephew of Carla or whatever he's
he's just Joe, Carla's nephew.
It's sociopathic to sit there and be like, well, because this is my descendant's tomb. It's like, were you really close to everybody?
Oh,
like, do you know her?
Really well?
And you have to exact revenge for people going in there? Like,
she
no, this is
herself?
Just your own personal fucking problem, and you need to get over it.
Y'all are crazy.
And he's like, I feel a duty to do this. Fuck you. Shut up,
God.
Joe. Yeah, it's like, you. I understand, like, I agree that people, like, it's cool to be proud of your family and all that stuff, but, like, you can't. He's boiling people in tar pits on purpose because he wants to punish them.
So
it's like, that's not
the,
it.
So, like, he's
do
like,
do creepy stuff.
You're trying to, like, kidnap children and boiling anyone that stepped foot in there, in that, you know, in her burial area.
Yeah.
In tar pits.
You're a fucking crazy person because you're just like, oh, you stepped in here. So what?
In the
scare
chamber.
The shit out of me. Scare shit out of me so I won't come back here. Like, you can't boil me
anyone
in a tar pit because of it.
Entered the chamber. Like, I'm sorry. There wasn't a sign on the door that said don't come in. Like,
and also, like, you work for the archaeologist.
How the fuck was I supposed to know? I guess.
And he's like, I got this job on purpose so that I could do this.
Yeah, but he, like, came from, like, the university or something, right? He's, like, recommended. Yeah. So, like, went to the
I think
university.
That's insane.
And was like, yeah.
I'm going to be the security person. He went to the university, and then he's like, I'm going to be the security person on there so that I can murder people that go in this
I have a bloodthirst for, you know, for Tomb Raiders. Let's do this.
It's like, I'm pretty sure that's something that Ted Bundy was saying. You're a fucking scary person, Joe.
God.
That's horrifying. Like, what was BTK doing? He was clipping people's fucking phone wires and their power and all this stuff so that he could fucking torture them. And that's exactly, like, you're just not fucking stealing their beepers and fucking crushing them so that you can't beep anybody. You're literally boiling people alive in the tar pit.
Yeah, I feel like Joe and Ted and Joe and BTK would all, you know.
Joe and Dennis.
They'd all get along. They'd all get along.
Well, and that's the other thing is that, like, BTK was already, like, killing people by now. He was on a break, I think, now. But, like, you know, this book was in the 90s. So, I'm like, BTK, you know, Joe could have been a fan.
100%. I mean, he already knew all about Ted.
His would be boil, tar pit, kill. I'm boiling people in the tar pit to kill them. That's his BTK. Oh, my God. He was such a scary person. Okay. So that was the scariest part of this whole thing was Joe because it wasn't the mummies.
That's
but then also, like, something weird and, like, supernatural kind of happened at the end.
Yeah, because so, like, Joe tries to kidnap the kids from the museum.
Yeah, because he's definitely not driving them back to the hotel.
They realize they're going the wrong way. They escape. They, like, run through, like, a market. And they're like, we can't find the hotel. And, like, some guy, they get in a cab. And the cab's like, are you guys fucking stupid? The hotel's across. He laughs at them. He's like, it's right there. So they go back. They tell Ben. And Ben's like, that's not Joe. Joe didn't do that.
Well, okay. So Uncle Ben comes in the room. And they think that he knows that they were out. Because that's what Joe told them. He was like, he knows I told them that I would come pick you up. And that's why he got them to trust him. Again, fucking sociopath. Oh, will you help me? Like, look at my wrist. I just hurt myself. Like, okay, Ted Bundy. Like, and then he, like, brings him in the car. And he's like, no. Uncle Ben totally knows about this. No. So they got in the car with him. And then they booked it out of the car and all that stuff. But Uncle Ben walks in the room at the hotel room. And he's like, all upset and bewildered, and he's like, oh, two of my workers won't talk. I think that they got scared or something like that. Like, and Sari's like, yeah, cool, whatever. We believe we were kidnapped.
Yeah. Sorry about your workers. Someone kidnapped us, and it was Joe. And he's like, oh, no, that didn't happen. Joe would never do that.
And he's like, but I did a background check. And she's like, no, it was super Joe.
His response is literally like, that's weird. What else do you guys do today? That's crazy.
Yeah, and he doesn't even, like, care until the end of the conversation because he's so disturbed by his workers. And then he's like, wait, you guys went to the museum today? And they're like, yeah, and then we got kidnapped.
Yeah. We were napped. We were napped into the back of a hot car without any refrigeration.
There was zero air conditioning in this car, and we didn't even fucking see mummies. So that's bullshit. But anyway, so Uncle Ben, like, barely cares and barely registers to him that the kids were kidnapped and that they went to the museum. He's just like, oh.
And
then he goes, well, I have to get back to the pyramid because of my two workers. Fuck your workers. Sari's like, well, okay, what happens if Joe comes back?
Yeah, she's like, we're not staying here. Like, you negligent sack of shit. We're not staying here.
We are lucky that we fleed his car, but he knows that we're staying here.
Us. Yeah, he knows where we are. So
it doesn't matter if we lost him. He knows where we are.
And the best part is Ben's solution is like, well, fine, then you can come with me. Here's a pager. What? If you get lost, how about, like, we're not separating. If you, I'm going to put you on a leash. If you walk away from me, I'm going to beat the shit out
get
of
us,
you.
Let's go to the gift shop at the hotel and go get some backpack leashes for us. I would like this very much.
Listen, Ben, we're going to be leash kids today, so let's get this on.
This will be good for Gabe, because then he can have his water bottle back there, since he doesn't fucking back a water bottle. It's like, you know, it's. I was just like, hey, Ben, like, the kids are voicing a very real fear that they have. What happens if Joe comes back and kidnaps us? And he's like, I don't know,
he's
my
like,
two workers.
My workers are scared. They're too scared to talk, so I can't worry about you guys. What? Ben! Ben!
We're too scared to talk right now, and it was because
we
got kidnapped.
We were kidnapped in the back of a car. I don't know why you're not comprehending this.
Please, Ben. We were kidnapped.
God. Yeah.
And no wonder she wants to go back to boarding school. Like, I was just like, hey, guy, let's get it together.
Get me out of here. What is wrong with me? This guy doesn't give a shit about me.
Yeah, if she could, if there was just, like, only Sari's story, it would be Sari telling Gabe, like, I don't know why you want to do this. He sucks. We should only look for the mischievous things to do.
That's what, and when they, so when they go back into the into the pyramid.
Yeah, because they go back
again, stops to tie his fucking shoe and then falls behind them again. But he said when he falls behind them, he's like, they were walking in front of me and they look like they were arguing. And she was probably arguing with him. She was like, you piece of shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why are we back here? Why aren't you doing a little bit more research? Why didn't you stop to do a little bit more research into this Joe guy who I just told you tried to kidnap us? Like, what is your deal?
Yeah, what is your plan? Because we got kidnapped already. Yep. And we've been left to our own devices, and now you're only worried about these two people who just appeared to be afraid. Me too.
You planning on not looking into this at all? You're like, oh, I'll get around to it. You clearly weren't kidnapped, so you're fine.
Legally,
you escaped.
You are legally obligated to care for my well-being.
Yeah. We're attached. I got a social security number and everything. So we're going to, I'm on the fucking grid, bitch. Like, if I go missing, people are going to ask questions.
And they're going to start with you because you're my parent. Yeah.
You might not know where I am, but that boarding school does. And they're going to start looking for tuition for the missing kid. So
yes, exactly. And that's when you're going to worry about me.
So it's all going to go downhill, Ben.
But then fucking Gabe gets mad. So they go back into the pyramid, and then he goes down to tie his shoe, and then they just kept walking, which, again, hello. You think that we should all have leash backpacks and we should all fucking watch each other, because I just told you that we got kidnapped and you don't want me to get lost, so you want me to stay with you. And instead, you're just like, let's keep walking.
Or, like, wouldn't
not
you think,
like, let's
to,
make
like,
sure.
Squat down and be like, hey, guys, wait up. I need to tie my shoe. Or could you have like squatted down and been like, hey, Ben, would you mind tying my shoe? Because I'm too stupid to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, clearly I can't do it. So maybe somebody else should. So they just kept walking without Gabe, which I was like, that's irresponsible, because you guys, again, just got kidnapped. And then you're just like, oh, well, we're just leaving Gabe, the babe, to go get kidnapped. We're leaving him to fend for himself. But anyway, so then he loses them, and then he goes and he's like walking around trying to find everybody. And I think he like falls into this
floor or something, and he falls.
Yeah, he falls into this like other like preparation room.
He falls into like a mummy. He calls it a mummy room.
Yeah, but it's like, it looks like a preparation room. Like, he's like, this is where they prepared everybody and like whatever. And so he's actually seeing dead bodies this time, but they're not like
they're not
ancient.
Mummy dead. They're like, yeah, they're like,
no,
you know,
they're like freshly dead
fresh
because
box.
Joe's psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
they're Joe's
he
fresh
also.
Kills.
Yeah. So he goes to try to page Uncle Ben.
Yes.
Which amazing, because if you can page somebody in the basement in like a burial chamber and then in the preparation room of a pyramid in Giza, but I can't make a phone call from my driveway, I'm going to be fucking pissed and I'll get a pager tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm dropping a call because I'm walking from my car to my house, I'm going to fucking lose my shit. Like, yeah. if I could have paged somebody, like, I'm only going to get a pager and I'll just have a payphone somewhere.
Oh, man, I want to get pagers back.
We should get pagers. Who cares? Fuck you, kids. You guys want to fucking act? You guys want to pose and act like you live with a flip phone? I'm going to get a pager. You can't contact me, I bet.
I'll send you messages in code.
Page me, bitch.
Not available. You need something? Page me.
Yeah, you need something? Page me. The ultimate, like, leave a message.
He fell into that mummy room, and then he's like, something hard and warm touched me. And I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
What is the deal? And then he's like, it snapped at me. And my first thing was that TikTok noise, that lady that's like, a snapping turla. That's what I went with. But it wasn't. He was in a scorpion den.
Yeah. So his pager was broken from the fall.
Oh, yeah. He fell on it.
So he fell on it, so his pager doesn't work. That sucks. And he's trying to press the button, and it's not working, and he's like, you know, whatever. So he's trying to do that, and then he's getting, like, attacked by scorpions, which, by the way, I don't blame you for being scared of that. That's fucking terrifying. But the fun thing is that with scorpions, if you take, like, a glass cup and you put some kind of, like, lighter, like, you know, fire accelerant around the base of that cup and light it on fire, the scorpion will kill itself.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
they don't want to be killed by anything. They're such a prideful, like, thing. They're like, I will kill myself. So they just poison themselves.
When I lived in Phoenix, I only saw a scorpion once, and it was in a toilet.
Oh, that's scary. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, so I don't know if it had killed itself. Can they live in water? I don't know.
I don't think so.
And it was like a clear one. It was like a tiny, like little.
Oh,
like,
I don't like that at all.
Inch, like yellowish, clear, translucent thing. And it was in the toilet.
I don't like that at all. I hate that. But I was also a huge dick, and I used to terrorize James with plastic scorpions.
I don't know why. He saw
one in the shower one time, and he killed it with a shoe. And then I went and I got 300 plastic scorpions from Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com, showed up the next day, thank you, and I put a plastic scorpion in the shower in the exact same place, and I waited, and then he was like, oh my god, there's another scorpion, and I was like, oh no.
Oh no, is it 6 inches long? They're growing bigger.
We have these mutant scorpions. No, but I put it in a spot that it looked really good and it looked really real. And then he was really mad at me. But I was like, you know, I thought it was fun. Yeah. It's not going to go in the same place. But anyway, so he's all scared. And then he gets saved by Sari again. Uh-huh. So he's mad because she saved his life. And then she rubs it in his face, which she absolutely should rub it in his face. Because, again, Gabe couldn't fucking...
She walks in and she's like, you're fucking worthless. Where did you go again?
Yeah. And then he blames her. He's like, I had to tie my shoe and you guys walked away. And like, blah, blah. It's like, no, you could have fucking said, hey, I have to tie my shoe again. Can you guys wait up?
Yeah, I don't have time to babysit you. I'm trying to survive for my life. I don't even have a real parent. So
yeah, I wasn't thinking about, oh, I should make sure that I'm watching Gabe, because I was too busy worried about being fucking kidnapped.
God. Yeah.
And my dad was too worried about his workers who weren't speaking. Who cares? But anyway, so then they're in that chamber and they're the preparation room and they're both looking around. And then somehow Joe pops up. I can't remember. But he starts going on about how all these people are disrespectful and they're disturbing this place. They violated the priestess chamber and they're all going to pay and they're going to do this and I'm going to be the one that exacts revenge on it. And so he's like torturing these people in there to like teach them a lesson.
The descendants of Carla are going to mummify anyone that walked into this chamber.
Yeah, man. Carla.
We ride and die for Carla. We're ride or die for Carla.
I am.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, because I respect a mummy's tomb. I would never go in there. I would be like, oh, we don't need to go in there. We don't need to go and find.
Stay out.
Any jewels or anything like that. They intentionally buried it down there.
Yeah, no, we're good. And then Sari's like, he's going to kill us.
He's super going to kill us. And he super is, because he's like, I just wanted to, he goes, so Joe says, I kept telling everybody we shouldn't do this. And Ben was like, no, we're going to keep doing it. So he's like, I wanted to. So he starts fucking terrorizing the workers, not Ben. He's terrorizing the workers so that Ben will be scared. But Ben doesn't give a fuck. Ben only has his kids at a boarding school and whatever. Like, Ben doesn't care. So he's like, I figured I would kidnap you guys. And then that would make Ben care. It's like, you're a fucking psycho. You're a psycho.
Ben still doesn't care, Joe.
No.
No.
That's why you're a psycho, because it literally will not be enough for you. Because then what if he kidnaps and he notices that Ben doesn't care? And then he's like, oh, I guess I have to amp it up a little bit. Ben's still not going to care. And then you just murdered children for no reason.
I guess I killed these kids for nothing.
Yeah. So he is basically like, so I thought I'd kidnap you guys, and then that would scare him. But then you guys are back down here. It's like, well, fuck yeah, of course. Duh. What do you think?
Obviously.
Yeah. So there's no actual, like, I don't think there's an actual curse of the mummy's tomb. I think that this is just Joe's, his supposed,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't think so either.
The curse of Carla fucking comes back and bites Joe in the butt because it, like, throws him. Oh, he, like, he fucking straight up buries Ben in a mummy tomb.
Yeah. And but then somehow it says that they're all in the mummy's tomb. And I'm like, how big is this mummy case? How big is this mummy case that all of you are in it?
What? And then also he said that Ben said, because they were like, how did you get out of yours and into this one? And he goes, oh, there's an escape chamber. I was like, there's an escape chamber? I'm like, I know there's like one in a magician like coffin.
Hatch.
Yeah. And so he said, because they thought that your soul would fly out of the hatch. I'm like, my soul knows to use the hatch?
There's three of them, okay? There's Sari, there's Gabe, and there's Ben. And at this point, they're all together, and they figured out how to open the escape hatch to get out. Joe is one guy. You guys can't overpower this one guy?
Yeah.
The three of you can't do it? Also, I have a note in here. So we get past this part where, like, Joe shoved them all in the mummy case again. And then I made a note that said, this fucking kid's shoe is untied again.
So I was going to say, yeah. You can just trip Joe with your untied shoe. Like, be useful, Gabe.
What is your deal?
Put your shoe out and just trip him with your shoelace. It's like, oh, you idiot.
Joe's all like, I'm going to chuck you guys in the tar pit. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's fully going to boil them in the tar pit.
Yeah.
Fully.
And then Gabe is like, oh, wait, I have this garage sale mummy hand. I'm going to pull that out of my pocket. And he pulls out the mummy hand. And then he's like, and I close my eyes. And then all the mummies came to life and set fire to something and picked up Joe and held him over the tar pit. Did they throw him in?
I don't know. It sounded like they did. So I'm like, okay, so now Gabe and Sari have a body on their hand.
I think these you know, because he's got the garage sale, you know, mummy hand from the royal family's garage sale, he's got that. And then all these mummies that he had just mummified for, you know, to avenge Carla come to life and then pick him up and chuck him into the tar pit. And then he drops the hand and they all return to their original place.
Yeah. And like, Joe never tells us about, like, he never says, like, oh, this is what my dad did and this is what my grandfather did. Like, we're all keepers of Carla's curse tomb, you know, like whatever. They don't ever talk about that. It's just Joe. That's why I say he's a psycho, because he's a fucking serial killer, because he's like, I have to do this. It's like, you're not even telling us that it's like a family tradition or
like,
anything like that.
How,
like, there's
how
no,
do you know,
like,
you're a descendant, Joe. Did you like do like a 23andMe?
Yeah.
You got that? Like, come on.
Yeah. What are you doing? You going on Ancestry.com? Possible mother popped up and it's Carla. You're like, oh, Carla.
Oh, Carla, got it.
Yeah, but I feel, I don't know. Anyway, the book is over now. That's what happens.
He drops the hand and then I feel like we don't see his parents again.
I don't remember it, because I remember I would be like, wow, this is going to be like a whole chapter only about, you know, talking to his dad and mom about this, and he's never gonna be able to hang out with Uncle Ben ever again.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to hang out with Uncle Ben ever again.
No.
You're a negligent sack of shit. I thought you were cool, and you're not.
Yeah, and also I felt like Uncle Ben would have been cooler if he was childless, like if he didn't have any kids, like because he's so dedicated to his work. But otherwise, I was so distracted by it. I'm like, this is your kid.
Yeah, you don't care about her.
This is your daughter. And she's like, hey, Dad, we almost got kidnapped today.
And he's like, oh, no, for real? I got other stuff to do. Okay, you guys good?
Hey, Dad, I got buried in a mummy tomb by one of your workers.
This guy's trying to throw me in a tar pit. And what are you doing? You didn't help out at all. I had to call on this little tiny mummy hand to see if these dead people can awaken to help us.
I had to page you.
That's what,
and I had to page you.
I had to fake page you to come find me. And then I have to wake up dead people to see if they'll come to my rescue because my father doesn't give a shit about me. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, guess what? I'm getting ice cream later, and you're taking me to the fucking museum.
You're paying,
and
for
I'm gonna
it.
Get, I'm gonna get two burgers and a milkshake. That's what I'm getting at the place, and we're getting room service. That's what's happening because I was in a fucking mummy tomb earlier today. On your watch, Mom is gonna hear
someone
all about
this.
Someone
tried to throw me in a tar pit, and you don't seem to care.
Yeah, if somebody ever tried to throw me in a tar pit, that would be the only thing that I would talk about for.
It would become
decades.
My entire personality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so when I almost got thrown in that tar pit, because that would just be like, like that one
oh, the
guy.
Tar
remember,
pit
like,
everything goes back to the, all roads lead back to the tar pit. So
I would always, yes, all roads lead back to the tar pit because I would post the anniversary of when I got out of the tar pit or like that I didn't get thrown in the tar pit. This was the worst day of my life.
Since the tar pit. It's been 879 days since the tar pit.
Yeah. I wouldn't do any other like announcement posts. Like I would never do like we're engaged or I got married. Like I wouldn't do anything like that. Like, I mean, I did get married and I did post something about it, but it was only because I felt like I had to. But like I would definitely post all the time about that I was almost put in a tar pit. I'd be like, so recognize the signs. If you feel like someone's going to throw you in a tar pit.
I would interrupt everyone. I would walk around like people like pouring asphalt. I'd be like, excuse me, do you guys want me to talk to you about my personal trauma and why this is triggering me? And I think you should stop right now. I was almost thrown into a tar pit.
Hi. Yes. Where are the bathrooms? Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being nice to me. It's so nice because after I almost got thrown in a tar pit. Yeah.
I didn't have any faith in people anymore. So,
yeah, I didn't have. So thank you for telling me where the bathroom was.
Hi, what would you like to order? Well, I tell you what I wouldn't like to order, and that would be being thrown in a tar pit. But other than that, I'll have a cheeseburger and fries. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hi, what can I get for you? You know, on that day that I was almost thrown in a tar pit, I thought, oh, God, I could go for a Mr. Pibb right now. So I'll have Mr. Pibb or Dr. Pepper because I almost got thrown in a tar pit, and that's what I wanted to drink. And I thought, you know, life's short. I'm going to have the Dr. Pepper.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to drink it. So.
I actually don't like Dr. Pepper.
Neither do I.
I like Dr. Pepper with real sugar in it, though.
I really liked Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb because it's the same shit. I liked that stuff when I was a kid. Like, I liked it a lot. I don't like any of that as an adult.
I was a Coca-Cola whore. I loved Coke. Like, I would just chug it.
Like Gabe?
Yeah. Except for...
You could tie your shoes?
And I would have brought... I don't care if he doesn't know how to tie his shoes. Whatever, it's fine.
You were just such a Coca-Cola
at least wear
whore,
a shoe that
you would have had a pocket Coke at the pyramids. Like,
oh, yeah.
No, I'm good.
In my purse, I always have 4 nickels, 4 dimes, 4 pennies, and 4 quarters. I always have exact change for something. I always have candy of some kind. Right now, I have Jolly Ranchers. If I go anywhere, I will bring fruit snacks with me or something else. Like I always have snacks with me or like I will always bring something to drink. And I always know where the bathrooms are. It's called being anxious, honey. Look it up. When are we going to see food again? I don't know.
I
make sure I bring fruit snacks.
I am pretty skilled at finding a bathroom. I can find bathrooms almost anywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do the same thing. Yeah.
Yes.
But there are some neuroses that I must keep at bay.
It's
having exact change for things and fruit snacks on hand just in case.
I like the fruit snack thing.
Oh, it's divine.
Do you have a preferred fruit snack?
Yeah, Mott's. I just eat Mott's.
My grocery store growing up in my area is Jewel Osco. Which I think is Albertsons. It's like same company.
Yeah.
But they had like the generic brand shit. Of everything was what was purchased in my household. And they would have like the sharks and the dinosaurs. And they weren't like, you know how like a lot of the fruit snacks are like that, like jelly, like almost like gummy bear consistency.
Gross.
No. The sharks and the dinosaurs were like hard. And I think it's because they were probably old, but they were like hard and you couldn't see through them. They were opaque and they were a harder fruit snack. And I felt like that was a superior fruit snack and I can't find those now. But I still,
they're probably with the Butterfinger BBs.
Probably.
We'll never see them again. The sharks were great. I love those sharks.
I also love Gushers.
I love Gushers. They gave, right? The sharks, they gave, like they had, like you could chew through them easy. They weren't like hard, but they was just more dense.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like that's
yes.
They were
superior.
And
they were blue. And they were a beautiful blue.
Oh, the sharks were blue. The dinosaurs were like purple and orange and I think yellow.
Yeah. They were like purple and orange. I think some of them were like a darker green and then a lighter green.
Man.
I think. But they're probably with the Butterfinger BBs right now.
Yeah. Well, they brought back Dunkaroos, so I feel like we can get it back if we...
Yeah, they do have Dunkaroos, and they also have,
like,
the Dunkaroos have, like, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like, frosting.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like a cinnamon
Do you know
frosting.
What I would love right now? I
what?
Think
Bring it.
I feel like, you know, just some of those fruit snacks to go with an Ecto Cooler High C.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be, like, a great meal.
I want, here's what I want. I want one of those little hug barrels. Remember that you had
to punch the straw through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want one of those. I want, I want a fruit roll up.
Okay.
I don't want a fruit by the foot. I want a fruit roll up that you take out of the thing and you mush it up and you ball it up and you just rip a fucking hunk off of it.
The hard
That's
ones,
what I want.
The plastic that you like pull the shapes out of?
Mm-hmm. That's what I want. And then I also want the dinosaur egg oatmeal. That would be a perfect meal for me right now.
I love that. And then we can have the dessert of these things they still make, but it was like those cheap, like little, you know, you get the sleeve of like Sunday cups where it's like 10 in a sleeve and you can get them like strawberry chocolate. Those things.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The strawberry ones were so good.
They're so good. God.
Yeah. Anyway. So that was the curse of the mummy's tomb.
Was it?
There was no Imhotep. That sucked. There was no Benny that Brendan Fraser was trying
Benny.
To.
I love Benny.
I love Benny. He's such a
R.I.P. Benny.
Man.
Benny died in the first one.
Yes, he did.
He was eaten by scarabs.
But you know what, though? Deserved. Because he was a douchebag.
He earned it. Benny was entertaining.
Yes,
but
he
girl bossed too close to the sun. Like, he was like, I don't want to die. I'm going to get on the side of Imhotep. And then he did. And that really, really ate him in the end, literally, by those scarabs that devoured his body.
Poor Benny. But he was a tragic figure to start because he was only out for himself.
Yeah.
So then my question for you is, Sari would clearly be like an Evie or Rachel Weisz type, right?
Yeah,
She'd be like Evelyn. Okay.
I think so. I think she needs to be seasoned another, you know, 20 years of getting knowledge under her belt. But she could be on her way to that.
Right. But she would be like that kind of type. I don't think that Gabe would be Jonathan, but I also don't think that he would be Brendan Fraser.
Oh, well, he can't be Brendan Fraser because they're cousins. But he, I think Gabe would be one of the Americans.
Yes. When was Curse of the Mummy's Tomb written? I got to look this up. 1993. So do you think that whoever wrote The Mummy heard about this?
And was like, well, that really, I could do that a lot better. I hope so.
Well, there's a movie from 1932 called, it's with Boris Karloff, and it's called The Mummy. And I guess I have to watch that now. And then there's also one from the 1959. I will not watch the one movie, The Mummy, with
the Tom
fucking
Cruise one?
Tom
Absolutely
Cruise.
Fucking not.
Yeah, no.
That's what I occasionally would like flip through. I'm like, oh, The Mummy's on, amazing. And I would turn it on, and I'm like, you motherfucker. Fuckers. Absolutely not. Will not watch it. Turned off every time. So I've seen roughly 0.6 seconds of it because the second that I realize that it's not the real mummy, I turn it off.
Okay. First of all, Chrissy, I'm looking at the cast of The Mummy right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Still would, even after all these years, okay, even after 25 years. Holy shit. Brendan Fraser's so hot. Rachel Weisz, still so hot. The guy who plays Imhotep is still so hot.
Oh, my God.
The guy who plays Ardeth Bey, the Magi.
Yes, that guy.
He's so fucking hot. I'm going to send you a picture of him.
Yeah, he's the pimp from Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Yeah, and then the Anaxunamon is so hot.
Oh my
god,
really upsetting. Anaxunamon. So like the her walking. So the beginning of that movie, the first scene of that movie. There's like two throwback scenes, and then they kick into the movie. So the first throwback scene is like from Cairo, that shows Imhotep and Anaxunamun's like backstory. So when she stabs herself, I like her walking in that room. I'm like, I have never seen a woman that beautiful in my entire life. And then Rachel Weisz popped up on the screen. I was like, I've never seen two women this beautiful in my entire life.
Yeah, but it's she, really like, upsetting.
Absolutely crushed that role.
Yeah, totally. Oh. It makes you sit there and you're like, I look like shit.
I love that movie. I also,
it's such a good movie.
God, I could talk about that movie for an entire podcast, and I think we should. I think we should just do a whole talk about.
We'll have to do a nostalgic movies podcast or something.
I want to do a deep dive on Winston. I want to know all about him, where the fuck he came from, why he had a plane, and what he was doing, and why O'Connell kind of knew him already. It's all very strange.
Yeah. Where did Winston come from? I thought we were just talking about just anybody, and I was going to say, I need to do a deep dive on Stuart Little because I want to know why we're adopting a rat. I have to know.
I saw someone talking about that. That he was like, that was somebody on another podcast that said that he would have killed him. And I'm like, I would have set out a trap. I would have set out a rat.
Oh, you know what? I think it might have been Caleb Heron. And I fucking love Caleb.
Maybe.
That sounds like something that Caleb would say. He'd be like, I'm killing that rat.
Your parents went to go adopt you a brother and came back with a fucking mouse. I'd be like, are you guys serious?
Yeah. What's happening with you?
I'm setting out traps. I'm setting out traps right now. You guys brought back a mouse that drives a convertible.
Let's think about how mean we were to our siblings. So, like, you think I'm not going to be mean to my new adopted sibling?
Yeah, no way.
I'm for sure going to terrorize this thing. Okay. So, anyway, Chrissy, do you think that people should read The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb?
Yeah. I mean, it's a quick read. Is it anything having to do with a mummy? No. Is it another classic Goosebumps? Yes. Are there better Goosebumps? Yes. Are we going to read the rest of them? Absolutely yes. But if you want to read all of the classic Goosebumps, this is part of the experience, you know? Enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
I was gonna say I would not recommend it just because I thought it was so boring. And I kept like, it was 3 hours and 19 minutes long. And I kept sitting there like looking at my phone like, when do we get to the fucking mummies already? Like, I was just like, there's no mummy. But,
and there never was. I listened to it at like 1.5 speed. So,
and so I'm trying to find out when the mummies are coming. And I was like, it's kind of boring and there's really no, like, whatever. But I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're going for classic Goosebumps, and I'm just going to read all of them and I'm just going to, like, whatever, you got to do it. You got to listen to it.
Yeah, read it
pretty well. If you're like, oh, this is going to be a fun book about mommy. No, you're just going to be frustrated with a child because he sucks.
Yeah,
and then you're going to be like, why don't you fucking tie your shoes? Or if you're not going to be good at tying your shoes, or you know that you're not good at tying your shoes, then why wouldn't you get shoes? Like, I'm lazy. I never tie my shoes. I have shoes where I tie them, but I don't.
Because I either
slip them on and off. I'm a nightmare. But I know this about myself.
3 hours of your life you won't get back, but just, you know, if you're reading all of them, it's part of the experience. So don't expect it to be the best one.
As long as you go with our mantra, Chrissy and I have a mantra, we are not observing time, we are just moving through it. So if you're just moving through, if you're just looking to move through 3 hours of something, there you go. If you're trying to pass 3 hours, listen to this book, who cares? And then hopefully the next, because I think that there is, we were going to read another mummy book, but then we found out that it was like the sequel to this one. So we figured we would just start.
Maybe the sequel's better, you know.
Oh,
it rarely is, but it'll be easy to be. So
the squeak will better be better because this one sucked. I hope Gabe like learned how to tie his shoes or something. Or maybe it's him.
I hope so.
And he's bringing his kids to the archaeological site of his demented old Uncle Ben. And he's like, Uncle Ben, you should have retired 6 years ago. And he's like, oh, scares him with a mummy hand. And he's like, no, I just had a doctor's appointment today and they took blood. And it's like, oh, okay.
And 30 years later, sorry pops up. And she's like, hey, you guys want to take some time to talk about the tar pit? Because I'd like to
Hi, we almost got thrown in a tar pit.
Hi, remember that day we almost got thrown in a tar pit? It happened.
And then also, like, just putting her nephews in, like, the sarcophagus. And she's like, this is where I was. You have to learn how to get out of here because sometime somebody may do this to you.
Find the escape hatch, and then I'll tell you how to get not thrown in a tar pit. Almost did.
And then I'll buy you a hamburger. Because nobody cares about me, so I don't care about you. No. So I thought it was fine. I'm excited for people who want to read it. They should read it. They should love it. They should... maybe just tolerate it, not love it.
Yeah,
but,
just tolerate it.
It was fine. And then I'm really excited to finally read the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or whatever the fuck it is.
Charlie's
I'm excited
Chocolate
about
Factory.
That.
We're going to do it. Are we exclusively going to read children's books? I don't know.
No. We're going to read other books.
It's
just
now.
We read two very adult books. I'm with the band. And then we
from
read
Hollywood,
Twilight.
We read From Hollywood with Love, and then I'm with the band.
And we also read From Hollywood with Love. But I'm just saying that those ones were very adult because we heard a lot of blowjobs and...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then also,
Pammy was a little wild.
Pammy was wild, and then Bella was even more wild because she's like...
Bella's hornier
than
Pammy.
I'll go out with the 108-year-old. I was like, Miss Ma'am. Chrissy.
Oh, yes.
You went to your Twihard night.
I did. I went to, in Chicago, they are at the Otherworld Theater. There's a Twihard, a Twilight musical parody. It's happening it's been going on, but it's through March 24th. I'm going back again because it's incredible. I think the highlight for me included the scene. It's a reenactment of the movie just in parody. The scene where Bella is in the hospital being checked out when she almost gets hit by the van gets interrupted and thrown out, and they do a whole breakout song of it's a fanfic based on the daddies of Carlisle and Charlie, and it's like a song that plays out like if those two fucked each other, they rip their shirts off. One has like booby tassels and the other one has like a harness on.
Love.
And Charlie says the line, "Fuck the police, am I right?" And I felt like that was a real win. So I'm gonna go see it again.
The drink menu that you sent me was wonderful. There was a where have you been mocha. And there was also a gin of a killer. And that really was something special to me.
They had that, and then they had like a bingo, and then like the left top corner bingo was like you can check this off if you know what tit soak is. And like the tit soak is like this is the skin of a killer, Bella, which fucking cracks me up every time.
Amazing.
It might be one of my favorite plays I've ever seen, you know. Great.
Well, I was gonna say, now it sounds like it's gonna be a tradition for you. Like you're gonna go.
I feel like it's gonna go away though. But I think it's a limited run. Like this,
you can enjoy it while it lasts.
The theater is very tiny, and I think it's a limited run. But I hope it comes back. But we'll see.
For as long as there's millennials that can't buy houses, we will go see Twihard the musical. You know what I mean?
We sure will.
We're going to save up enough money to go see that instead of buying a house.
Yeah,
so.
Like the Kellogg CEO is telling us to eat cereal for dinner because we're poor, but we're going to go see Twihard the musical. So,
and then we're going to eat cereal because we're so fucking drunk. And that's
Fuck
when you eat cereal.
Guy.
You eat cereal because you're like, dude, I'm going to have like a fuck ton of honeycombs right now.
Yeah, I can't do anything. I'm going to eat these Aldi brand Frosted Flakes.
Yes. I'm going to go and just destroy my mouth with Frosted Mini Wheats. Thank you so much. Anyway, I hope that Gabe is having a bad day. I'm going to fart curse him from this book. And maybe we should do that, Chrissy. Maybe we should find
fart curse
one.
Of the week. Fart curse
let's,
of the week.
Let's fart curse somebody from every book.
Fart curse of the week. Gabe.
Gabe the babe. Gabe is getting fart cursed. No, actually, no. I'm going to change my fart curse. I'm going to fart curse Uncle Ben because he did not care that those children got kidnapped.
Yeah, Ben was a shit father.
I think I'm going to fart curse Uncle Ben. I think I'm changing my fart curse.
And he's a shit father and a disrespectful archaeologist.
Disrespectful. Yeah, and I think, because I understand where Joe was coming from. He's like, this is crazy. But also,
thinking,
I understand where Uncle Ben's coming from. But just do it carefully and respectfully and, like, you know. But Joe just didn't want anybody to go in there, which I think is weird.
Yeah, it's a little crazier.
But I think he didn't want people to go in there because he enjoyed murdering people. And he was like, don't find my murder chamber.
Hobby.
Yeah, don't find my murder chamber. That'd be great. Thank you so much. But anyway.
It'd be super weird if you find my murder chamber.
And I'd be really mad. I'll throw you in the tar pit. Okay, so a fart curse to you, a fart curse to your family. We love you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Cheerfully yours.
I'm sorry for fart cursing you. I hope you understand that it is with love.